Lots of things to get into with Tim Hasselbeck. Yes. We are ready, more than ready. Tim, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Better than Urban Meyer. Better than the Urban Cowboy down in Jacksonville. It's not good. Not good. How do you think ultimately this is going to play out? By the way, that's the next opponent up for the Titans down in Jacksonville.
You know, I saw his statement the other day, and I think there's probably a lot to be critical about. One thing he did say that I think was accurate was that, like, actually is a distraction. I mean, you've had meetings canceled. You've had probably a lot of people having to respond to it. You've had a coach that's kind of been, embroiled in a controversy situation, whatever, however you would want to describe it, heading into a game week. Like, that's not good. That doesn't necessarily dictate a win or a loss for that team or the opponent or whatever, but it also is, it has created a massive, massive distraction when, many teams are trying to focus on, the task at hand every week, which is preparing for an opponent and trying to get ready to play well against that opponent.
Mike Silver has been covering the league for a long time. He tweeted out, The Urban Meyer situation in Jacksonville has reached a crisis point, especially in the locker room. One player told me he has zero credibility in that stadium, and he had very little to begin with. So this sounds to me, if that's true, and like I said, Mike Silver's been covering the league for a long time. If that is true, that sounds like there was already a problem well before the incident this weekend. True?
Well, I would say this, and you make the point about Silver. Silver has been covering.
Hello? Did we lose Tim?
Did you lose me?
Okay, there you go. You're back.
You got me?
Yep.
Come back? What I was going to say is, Silver has, Silver's not like some hot take reporter, right? Now, he's had kind of big, juicy stories in the past, but, I think that his track record speaks for itself in terms of, he's not dreaming this up. And so, look, does this come from, just this situation, or is it come from, things prior to that? My guess would be that there's probably been some things prior to this that have made players skeptical or maybe not trust them. And, this is bad. I mean, I'll just give you an example of his comment the other day. Like when he brings up Trevor and, in his bachelor party, right, like, any NFL locker room I've been in the past would be like, what? Like, hold up a second. Like, what did you just drag me into your mess for? Like, that would have been the reaction.
Yeah.
From anyone. And guys would have been furious about it.
Yep.
That, to me, was really, really weird. And I think that's the kind of thing that the entire locker room looks at and is like, wait a second. What did you just do? Like, did you really? Like, did that really just happen? Like, I was stunned by it. And I would think that that was a reaction that was similar in that locker room.
Tim, that is a great point. Thanks for bringing that up. That slipped our mind. Well, all this talk we've had today, and you're right, I also thought about that too and forgot to bring that up. So thanks for doing that. That is a good point. So ultimately, how do you think this is going to affect this season for the Jags and for him? Like, how is this going to play out? Is it going to be they're going to start winning games and it's all forgotten? Or the more they lose, the more this gets magnified and the more awkward it gets? Like, how do you think it plays out?
I think the more they lose, the more it gets magnified. And I think this, you don't always have to like your coach, but I think you have to respect them. And I would think that there's been a lot of respect lost for whatever reason, but whether it's, the video, the response to the video, all of those things, the bringing somebody else into it, all of those different things, I think start to change you know, maybe how or, you know, accelerate, you know, how somebody feels about, you know, their coach. And so I think that, again, you don't have to like your coach, but I think you have to have a respect for him, and I think you have to feel like, hey, this guy is doing everything he can to put me in a position to do really well, and he would have my back if I wasn't. And I'm not getting the sense that that environment exists down there. And so, yeah, I think when you lose, this stuff ends up getting magnified, and then little things that probably aren't a big deal become a big deal, and I think that's what happens.
All right, let's play a little game called True or False and Why, okay?
Mm-hmm.
True or False, the Arizona Cardinals will be the best team in the NFC at the end of the regular season.
Mm-hmm. When you say best team, you mean have the best record?
Best record, yep, best record.
I'm going to say false. I don't feel great about it, but the reason I would say is this. Like, I think that they are a team that I still want to see their ability to, like win ugly. You know, like when things aren't just super, super great and, you know, they're kind of on a roll and playing with momentum. Like, I want to see them win the ugly game because I still think, like, no matter how well you're playing at the beginning of the year, you're going to run through some lulls during a season because it's such a marathon. And, you know, I want to see them win the, you know, the 13-7 game where, you know, they offensively just in a little bit of a rut.
Okay. True or false? The AFC has caught up with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I'll say true because I think there are teams. Well, Kansas City could be – I mean, they could have two more losses. I mean, like, they – which is crazy, but, I mean, they've played close games. Like, and we've seen people run the football on them. And I think that, you know, if you're able to do that, I think it creates a really interesting environment. Now, they're still really, really good. I mean, look how creative they are when they get in the red zone. I mean, they do a lot of things really well, but – yeah, I think for sure. I think there are teams that can play with them.
Don't you think the defense is starting to scare? I mean, the defense looks very shaky, does it not? It's not really about Mahomes and the offense. It's about their defense has
slipped.
No,
they have to stop turning it over, right?
Well, true. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, it's totally their defense. Look at them offensively. I mean, they check every box offensively. They have the play caller. They have the quarterback. They kind of have the design. They have the personnel. Like, they are so good on offense. Now, turnovers have hurt them. And then defensively, people have been running it on them. And that's kind of been the deal in the past, too. But it's just been hard for people to keep running it on them when the offense is scoring so much. So, yeah, look, that's the Achilles heel for Kansas City.
True or false, Ben Roethlisberger will be under center and the starting quarterback for Pittsburgh in Week 17.
True.
So you think they're going all season with this?
I do. I don't think they feel differently about, you know, their other option. Here's what I think about that situation there. He still gives them the best chance to win. The supporting cast needs to be a little bit better.
Okay.
I I've seen Ben, like, not like he's been perfect, but he's made a lot of plays still this year. So, look, you go to Week 1, you know, he's a really nice job Week 1. You know, and even some of the plays this last week in a close game, you know, I think there are plays where it's like, I mean, could Juju Smith-Schuster, like, could he pick up the ball a little sooner, make that catch? Like, I think he can. Now, can Ben make a better throw? Like, yeah, I think he can. Like, I feel like they're close on some stuff. And then, you know, I've banked on this, and maybe I get this wrong, but I think Kevin Colbert, their GM, is as good as anybody in the business. And I think his track record would support that. And I'm kind of trusting that what he's decided to do with that offensive line eventually is going to work. And And listen, maybe it won't. Maybe he gets it wrong. But I kind of feel like, you know, he has a pretty good shot of figuring it out.
Okay, last one. True or false, the Tennessee Titans win the AFC South?
True. And you want the why? The division
is awful.
Struggling.
It's a good way to put it, Tim.
I mean, that's pretty logical. I mean, you could have said true by default.
Yeah, I mean, look, like Dallas looks like they're going to win that division. Like, is Dallas amazing? I mean, they're probably pretty good. But the rest of the division is not. And so, look, that's all right. I mean, look, you'd rather that than, you know, be a double-digit win team and have to go in as a wild card.
Yeah, to me, it looks like Dallas and Green Bay could just run away with their divisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and every team I was ever on, the number one goal, the first thing you said was like, listen, guys, the first thing we need to do is win our division. First thing we need to do. And, look, you can't control the rest of your division. And so, look, by doing that, by winning your division, you really set yourself up for, you know, some potential postseason success. I mean, that's really what it's all about.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we had this debate last hour, and I wanted to ask you, is 10 minutes the right amount of time for overtime? And hear me out on this. I don't know what the rule is. Theoretically, if I win the toss, my team wins the toss, I keep the ball. I have a ball control offense. We steadily go down the field. We get stopped on the 1 yard line, and I kick a field goal, and the clock expires. It's not a likely scenario, but it could happen.
Right.
Do you get the ball? The 10 minutes is over.
No.
So that's the rule.
They don't get the ball.
So they don't even say that before they toss the coin because it's unlikely to happen. But you see what I'm saying? So I hold you to a field goal, but I might only get a minute left. Now the Titans got 4.5 minutes, but they were very rushed at the end of the game to scramble at the end to get the field goal, and a lot of it was their own fault. But you see what I'm saying? Like, if I get my one position, you get your one possession. Should the time really come up that quick? Like, there's a lot of games where the 10 minutes really comes into play at the end.
Yeah, right. I mean, the argument there is, well, like, if your defense can't get off the field, like, and you're going to let a team sustain, you know, a nearly 10-minute drive, like, then you probably don't deserve to win the football game. Like, that's the devil's advocate, you know, argument there. Look, I don't know for a fact. My sense is this on the overtime situation. As the NFL has pushed for more regular season games, and it essentially be something that they were going to do no matter what the NFLPA, you know, how the NFLPA wanted to fight it, that they were going to get it through. And in an effort to kind of be, you know, at least seem like a good negotiating partner that cared about player health and safety, is you find other things that you can say, you know, are concessions in that negotiation. Time in the off season spent, you know, amount of times you can hit during training camp, overtime rules, you know, like, it, you know, we're not going to play, you know, we're not going to make somebody play 110 snaps in a football game, you know, stuff like that. Like, does the NFL really care about any of those things? No, because it doesn't affect their bottom line at all. But they are things that at least can be described to the players as, okay, we're playing 17 games this year, but hey, like, we got these things worked out too to kind of, you know, minimize the effect of playing an extra game.
When you evaluate the Titans at this point, and I'm sure you were in a lot of locker rooms. I asked this question to Bernard Pollard last hour. You know, you feel like you're a good team and you're supposed to beat the bad teams. The Jets have been a bad team, although they got a lot of new blood. I was thinking they were going to play better. It's kind of like they picked the worst week to play the Jets because they finally started looking like a team. They breathed a little life into them. But what's fair? Because you know that the reaction in the town is, how could you possibly lose the Jets, even without A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, et cetera? But it's kind of an illustration of the NFL. There's one of these every week, it seems like. So what's the right mindset coming in after you lose a game like that?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Was it last year? I think it was last year against Cincinnati. Was that last year, 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Last year they lost to Cincinnati. Like,
yeah, and you're like, what just happened? Like, what did we just do? Right? You know, like the kind of thing. I mean, the mindset is like, you know, it's a little bit of a wake-up call. And when you watch the film, like, there's going to be bad stuff on film where, you know, you get, like, you don't win your matchup, you know, against a guy that, like, you should, you know, or you make a mistake. And so, you know, the mindset, you know, in some ways it's easy for a coach because you come in and you're like, guys, like, you actually don't need me to tell you, like, this isn't good enough. So, yeah, I mean, that's the mindset. And, you know, I think in some ways it's embarrassing. You know, sometimes, like, you get beat by somebody that's a good player. You know, guys are like, look, you know, they're pros too. Like, they win some, you win some, like that type of thing. But, like, when you see Zach Wilson get into the groove that he got into later in that game, like, he looked like he got comfortable and started to feel it. And it's like, ooh, like, that's not a good sign based on the fact that, like, we haven't seen that all year from him. So, yeah, like, those, like it happens. You're right, it happens every week. I think the thing that jumps out to me, this is a bit of an exaggeration, but, like, the thing that jumps out to me watching Tennessee, you know, there are a lot of games going on as I'm watching, you know, all the games and stuff. I feel like every week this year, there's been a play where I see Ryan Tannehill running backwards for the football. Like, whether it was a snap over his head or he wasn't ready for, or, you know, he gets hit in the pocket and the ball, you know, is squirting out backwards and everyone's scrambling to get it. Like, there are these, like awful negative plays. And they're just deflating to a team. They're deflating to an offense. You get off schedule. You're forced to punt. It's a field position issue. The defense is wondering what's going on. Like, to me, I feel like for whatever reason, like, in so far this season, like, I don't know how many of there have been, but it seems like there's at least one a game.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So with Tannehill, I was going to ask you about him. Do you see a regression, or do you see a guy that's behind an offensive line that's not playing well, and he had his two best receivers out, and he just doesn't have the chemistry yet with Todd Downing like he had with Arthur Smith? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I don't think it's the quarterback. I mean, I really don't. I think, like, let's just be fair. Like, you know, the opener – they did a horrible job protecting him. Like, I don't care who you are. It's like, if you're not going to protect your quarterback, like, he doesn't have a shot. And so that's been an issue. You know, the receiver situation's been bad. Like, look, without the top two receivers and with kind of the, you know, the current personnel, you know, at tight end, like, tell me, like, who are the guys that, like, you look around, you'd be like, yeah, those guys would be starting everywhere else in the league.
Right.
Like, they're just not, there aren't, you know, like, they don't have that. And then, yeah, I think when you know, so the play caller, you know, I think you've got to acknowledge that. And then, you know, from that standpoint, you know, what, you know, you get to the play caller and you go, all right, well, you know, what are we doing now, you know, that's different? And, you know, and how are we dealing with, you know, the current personnel that we have healthy and ready to go? So, yeah, to me, they're a team that, truthfully, I think with how they have played in general, I think they're actually pretty fortunate to be where they are now based on kind of the up and down that we've seen from them, you know, already just through a few weeks.
Tim, the story Sunday night, of course, was Brady's return to Foxborough and going up against Belichick for the first time. But I walked away from that game being impressed with Mac Jones, even though they lost. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked – that was a growing up game for him, and he looked like he belonged. How about you?
You know, it's not the story, but, I mean, it would have been had Nick Folk made the kick. But Brady really struggled. ESPN charts this stuff. Brady had 10 inaccurate throws in the first half. 10. Yeah. He barely completed over 50% of his passes. He really struggled, and that was the story, right? Is like, hey, Brady going back there and stuff. But Mac Jones, in that, bad weather conditions, they had -1. New England had -1 rushing yards. So to play the way he played, he put that team on his shoulders. So I thought that I thought he was excellent. And I think that he's doing it with not a great supporting cast in New England. Like his receivers, we're just talking about the Titans receivers and stuff. I don't think they have a guy at receiver, and I think there's a chance you could make the case actually that they have the worst receivers in the NFL. Now they've had good backs, and obviously they've, they had Jonnu Smith. We're all familiar with him, yeah. From his time here. But I think they might have the worst receivers. If you were just take the tight ends and the running backs out of it, who has a worse receiver group than New England?
I don't really have a good answer for that.
It's pretty bad,
right?
They got good tight ends, but receivers, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jonnu Smith hasn't exactly litten it up.
No.
Did you see who the Titans had out there on Sunday?
Well, I know, but those are the backups. But well, what I'm saying is, as starters,
they don't have Kendrick Edelman Bourne, and Walker.
It's not fair. Kendrick Bourne's a pretty good player, but
Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers right. And N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
I don't know where else those guys are starters.
Jets didn't exactly look like – Corey Davis is a good receiver, but, it's not like mm-hmm. they've got the who's who.
No.
Running out of the field either.
No, and that's – but maybe we can find another team where you go, yeah, okay, I'd take those guys. But, look, they're bottom five.
Yeah.
Versus – think who Brady is out there with. Brady's out there with Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans. He's got all kinds of. He's got three guys that in some ways could be a number one.
No doubt. Tim, good stuff as always. Appreciate the visit. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. See you guys.
Thanks, Timmy.
We'll see you. Tim Hasselbeck joins us every week. On the program, always good to catch up with him. Always good.
Yeah, no doubt. BFF.
We don't have okay. Just want to make sure. We don't have our
the screeners.
Yeah, we don't have the screeners. So
yeah,
doing a little multitasking. All right, we'll come back more on the other side. By the way, Clark Lee to begin the final hour. Mitch Light. So we'll get into some college football discussions in the final hour of the program. We'll come back. More NFL stuff here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But first, I'm going to tell you how you can win $200 in free bets. It's very simple. All you have to do is sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with a special offer on the baseball playoffs. All you have to do is place a $10 moneyline wager on any playoff team, and if either team hits a home run in that game, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips for every game. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a home run is hit in the game you wager on. Nothing beats a W at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.